Thanks to those of you who supported the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, Thrivent Choice, we received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
When you magnify the mistakes of your past, then you actually dwarf the potential of the God who is already in your future.
It's now almost impossible for anybody to defend the regime of abortion on demand without being embarrassed by it.
Hi, my name is Greg. Hi, Greg. I am an addict. I'm addicted to the theology of glory. And it's been only a matter of minutes since I looked to triumph on my own resources and my own strength.
He is transfigured to manifest the glory of the cross, to console Peter and the others in their dread of the passion, and to bring their minds to elevated understanding.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play those four soundbites you heard just a taste of in their fullness for you to listen to. And then it'll be your opportunity to pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Listen at our homepage, issuesetc.org. And you can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or, let's see, give us a call when we start playing Soundbite of the Week. In just a little bit here on Issues Etc., 1-877-623-6943. Going to listen to some of our Issues Etc. comment line comments. They come from our listeners. They come in late at night, middle of the day. Sometimes we're here to hear them. Most of the time we're not. The reason we leave this line open is because so many of our listeners listen on demand. Even those that listen live, sometimes you're thinking about what you heard. A question occurs to you. A suggestion occurs to you, a criticism occurs to you, we want to hear it. 618-223-8384, the Issues Etc. comment line. Let's begin with a comment from Issues Etc.'s own Paul Harvey.
This is Harry of Arlington Heights, transforming an Old Testament Bible study from a probe of ancient times to a review of current events. As a farm boy in the deep south of Alabama during the Great Depression, on a summer day at play with a friend in his barnyard, we saw Uncle John, an old black man, emerge from the woods. Nearby, with a gunny sack over his shoulder bulging with kindling he'd just harvested from the forest floor. Uncle John hoisted his load into the wood box with a crackling thump, heard inside by my boyfriend's mom, who knew exactly what had happened. No need to check the window, she went straight to the pantry with a large plate. Sure enough, by the time she got to the screen door with a plate load of food, Uncle John was there to receive his dinner. Everyone in the area knew the arrangement. One load of kindling for one plate of food. That's how old John made his living all by himself in a cabin in the woods. Uncle John sat down on a timber in the barnyard to eat his dinner with me sitting down to talk on his left and my friend on his right. Then ensued one of the most memorable exchanges of my life. For you see, in that year of 1935, I was 7 years old, and Uncle John was 107, exactly 100 years older than I. When Uncle John was born, the fourth president of the United States, James Monroe, still had 3 years to go in the White House. Uncle John had been a 44-year-old slave at the end of the Civil War. Uncle John established my view of history, which I measure not in years, but in lives. To me, a life is 100 years. To a Bible class of 20, I told of Uncle John and then pointed out, you have 20 lives. Just 5 of those lives reach back to Luther and the Reformation. all 20 lives, reach all the way back to the birth of Jesus. Add to your lives those of your parents, and we have 60 lives represented right in this room. Those 60 lives reach all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Today we are studying Genesis. Do not look at Genesis as ancient history, but as current events well within the lifespans represented right in this room. Thank you.
The thing I love about Harry's comments is he has a way, in each and every one of them, he has a way of kind of bringing things into perspective, kind of setting things into perspective. He did it with his last comment a couple of weeks ago as well, definitely with that one. Look, this is something you're not going to hear anyplace else in Christian radio, is Issues Etc. His own Paul Harvey with that kind of perspective. Thank you very much for the comment. Next, a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line on the subject of birth control.
Hi, my name is Emily, and I'm calling from Omaha, Nebraska. I'm calling about the issue of birth control. Today has been the March for Life, and you are really great on the show talking about abortion and the connection between, say, allowing women in the priesthood, which leads to gays in the priesthood, about those connections, but you never go the one step back further to the Protestant acceptance of birth control and how that has actually started this whole process. Because once married husbands and wives can cut off that reproductive nature of the marital act between them, between a man and wife, once they can prevent pregnancy and still have sex, then this leads to this mindset of, you know, children aren't as valued, smaller families are better, etc. I happen to be a Lutheran married to a Catholic, and so I've been exposed to the Catholic Church's anti-contraceptive teaching, which is what got me started on all of this. But what I really want to know is, what is the Lutheran Church's excuse? How do we reconcile this with our pro-life stance and all the other things that that we believe about the way we were created? And I don't know, there's so much I want to say about it, but I'll just quote my former pastor, Christopher Esget, in today's sermon that I looked up online because I'm living in Nebraska and he's in Alexandria. But what he said was in his sermon, it's on eschatology.com if you need to look it up. Birth rates among Lutherans have drastically declined along with the general population, for the pro-choice mindset has already been adopted when contraception is embraced. The use of contraception says we will decide when to have children and what number is convenient for us. Thus, we make ourselves out to be God, and children are viewed as the result of our choice, decision, and will instead of received as a gift from God. Until we as a church become a community that welcomes the unwed mother, unexpected child, unwanted child, how can we expect others to welcome the children growing in their wombs? The only other thing I wanted to say was that the natural family planning is not the rhythm method. It's accurate. It's open to life. It's reversible. There are no side effects. You can still maintain a reasonable family size, but it's done by separating the marriage act from the times that you are pregnant. So it's maintaining that nature that God has put in the body of a woman when he created us. So that's all I wanted to say. I'd love to hear about this topic on your show. I love the show. I listen almost every night when I'm making dinner, and I appreciate everything you do. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for your kind words. We actually have done a couple shows on contraception. I remember one recently with Pastor Heath Curtis, if I'm not mistaken. It was not that recently, but maybe within the last year or year and a half. And you could probably find that by searching the archive. I think it would have been probably tagged under birth control or contraception. And if you Google that in the Issues Etc. search engine, you'll probably find that interview with Pastor Heath Curtis. This is something that has, I'll be quite honest with you, in the context of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it has only recently become a highlighted concern. Because you're right, you're quite right, that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod officially kind of went along with the Protestant acceptance of artificial birth control. And I want to say artificial birth control as opposed to natural birth control. Abstinence within marriage is birth control. And this is where conscience becomes very important. Is abstinence within marriage tantamount to playing God too? Is it built upon the same philosophical foundation that says we will choose? That's why I say conscience is very important here. We need to do another show on this, but the reason we don't often, we do when we're talking with Roman Catholic commenters, we do often make a connection between artificial birth control and the decline of the family and all the other ills of family and society. We do that quite often. Because the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod doesn't have an official position on birth control, it lacks one. Does it need one? Probably. We need to start talking about that and examining it in light of God's word. We need to have one. If only to be able to stake out a position that is in accord with God's word on this very important issue. But the reason we don't make the connection between birth control and abortion in every case is because not every form of birth control has a necessary connection to this philosophy of choice. Not every form of birth control does. So we cannot make a blanket statement about that. Also, to be quite honest, this is one of these positions, because it hasn't been adequately discussed among Lutherans, at least to my knowledge. It's one of those things where we have to permit for a time that people of goodwill and clear conscience will be disagreeing on it. We'll be right back.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
How can an understanding of the theology of the cross help in times of pain, suffering, and loss? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Problem of Suffering by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Problem of Suffering, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Pro-life parents address a son's condition.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
About 10 years ago, Gabe and Rebecca Lyons found out their unborn baby had Down syndrome. They were shocked, as most parents would be. But they were dismayed when their research showed that fully 9 out of 10 babies, like their son, are aborted. A young church leader, Gabe decided he and his wife had to choose how to respond to that statistic. They could join picket lines in front of abortion clinics and vote pro-life, but Gabe decided he could also be pro-life in more creative ways. Listen next time to hear how.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
If you call, I will answer. If you fall, I'll pick you up.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through the Issues Etc. comment line. In just a few minutes, it'll be time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Weekend. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week doesn't work unless you vote. So get ready to vote. Get ready to listen and vote. And you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. This is where we kind of depend on you, our listeners. If you don't vote, if you don't call, if you don't email, if you don't send the tweet, if you don't vote at the Facebook fan page, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week pretty much doesn't occur. It kind of becomes just Wilkin talking, which is not what is intended to be. So 1-877-623-MY-IE, talkback at issuesetc.org. Vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can listen at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Another comment from the Issues Etc. comment line, a question about the means of grace.
Hello. I know that the means of grace are the only means by which God justifies us. Are they also the only means by which he strengthens our faith? I know that many evangelicals would want to say that other things can also strengthen our faith. For example, the man who battled cancer says, "Through this experience, I learned to rely more on God." Or someone who gave generously to the church says, "God really showed me that I could trust him to provide for me, even though I gave more than I felt comfortable giving." It seems that if these statements are considered to be true, they soon lead to statements such as, "When you trust God, when you step out in faith, you learn God is faithful." If the means of grace alone, and not our experiences, strengthen our faith, how do I respond to these people? Thank you again. Goodbye.
Well, that is a fantastic question. Answering your question, are the means of grace, that is, God's word preached, written, studied, and his sacraments, baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper, are they the only means by which not only God justifies us, but by which he strengthens our faith? The answer to that question is yes, they are the only means. Now, well-meaning Christians will say, "God strengthened my faith through this experience." What actually strengthened their faith was the word of God in those means of grace. That's what actually strengthened their faith. The experience was occasion for the word of God to do this, for God to do it through his word, but he did it only through his word. We must maintain that God will deal with us as Christians only through his word. Will he send experiences, both good and bad, into our life in order to give occasion for that word to strengthen us? Yes, he will. But it's not the experience that strengthens us in our faith. It may strengthen us in our courage, resolve, ability to handle hardship, all those kind of things that would happen to anybody who's suffering trials. But what really strengthens the Christian's faith, that is trusting God, is always and only God's word, period, regardless of what the circumstances are.